First I was a Catholic girl, loved the mass, I watched the swirl of smoke from candles burning, while Mary looked up yearning.
Hello and welcome to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We're recording this on Sunday morning, March 17th. I'm Larry Rhodes, or DJ Doubter 5. And as usual, we have our co-host, Wombat, on the line with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's me, the Wombat.
Cool. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And conversely, we'll also talk about religion, religious faiths, gods, holy books, and superstition. And if you get the feeling you're the only non-believer in your town, well, you're just not. I guarantee it. Here in Knoxville, in the middle of the Bible Belt, we have a group of over 1,100 of us. We're the Atheist Society of Knoxville, or ASK, and we'll tell you more about us after the mid-show break, so be sure to stick around. Wombat, what's our topic today?
What would Mr. Rogers do? And the reason why I bring that up is I want to do a comparison of potentially better figures for Christianity than just the ones, the stock ones we get from the Bible, because I guarantee you that there are better ones. And I don't think there's a better example of representing healthy values that align with what's purported in Christianity, modern Christianity, as how we should conduct ourselves in society than what Mr. Rogers has demonstrated in his lifetime in his television show, I think it's called Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
But Fred Rogers himself, great guy, advocate for education, music, learning, and also proudly Christian. And I think, you know, it's a good thing to note that, you know, even as atheists, we could recognize good Christians along with like really, really terrible ones, because what we really just want is what everybody wants, a nice, healthy life where everybody can work with each other and improve everyone's standards. So that's my topic for the show. But before we jump into it, Larry, I heard you've been doing some gaming. Let's talk about some gaming. Let's.
Oh, yeah. I've been playing Crisis recently. Crisis Network, or whatever it is.
Not the original Crisis.
No.
You weren't there with the memes.
CRYSIS. And it takes place in New York, and you're fighting aliens.
Okay.
But
that's the original. The original was also called Crisis with CRY.
But it was on a tropical island, so it's not the same game.
So this is industrial New York Crisis, where the aliens are like, hey, get off the sidewalk. I'm walking over here.
Yeah, more like killing over here.
I'm killing over here. Okay.
Well, and also it's Earth had just gotten some kind of super bug that killed most of the population, which was probably sent to Earth by the aliens to decimate the population before they started. But anyway, interesting shoot 'em up game, first-person shooter.
Larry, you're on your third first-person exploration shooting mechanic game. Is that typically your style? Yeah, because you did Starfield, which is first-person, run around, shoot, right? Metro, run around, shoot, but scary. And then Crisis, run around, shoot.
You're forgetting Doom.
Played, which is the same thing.
That's first person shooter. It's fighting aliens generally.
So you like Wolfenstein? You played
Wolfenstein way back in the beginning. That was like the first person shooter. It was almost 2D, but it was third person.
Would you say it's your cup of tea then?
Yes, it's my main thing. Right now, my main thing is first person shooters out in a wide open world.
Okay.
Where you can just go wherever you want and do what you want.
So parents, pay attention. Don't let your kids play first-person shooters. They'll turn into atheists like Larry. Lifelong atheists. It's going to ruin your kids.
No, it's just good fun. And we were talking before the game, the show, that most wives don't like their husbands playing computer games much. But that's the thing. I mean, you know where they are all the time. They're right there in the house with you and with the kids. And it's not out getting in trouble and not out doing stuff he shouldn't be doing. You know, encourage your husband to play computer games.
maybe it's a mix of the both, because my favorite games are simulation games. I like simulator games because they teach me
That
how to
too.
do stuff in real life, right? And so one of the things I'm doing right now is learning how to fly a drone. And this controller is really interesting. So like compared to, I'm holding up two different controllers for the radio listeners. This is an Xbox controller. It has two joysticks. It's got buttons on both sides. A drone controller just has the joysticks, right? Because when you're flying, you're not really pushing buttons. You're just changing your pitch, yaw, throttle, and
I've never
I don't know,
used it very
tumble.
much.
But it's a different way of holding the joysticks, and it's a radio frequency, and you can do simulations on your computer with the actual joystick, where you dial in the flight dynamics of the drone that you're going to fly with, and you just do virtual space, try to get as many rounds in as possible, so that instead of thinking about what you need to do, it's all muscle memory. And then the fun part is when you actually set up at a park and you try flying, and in your head you're like, I know what to do, but now I know crashes are expensive. Now I know if I can't pick myself up off the ground and I don't break my drone, I still have to get up and walk 3,000 feet out to this thing and pick it up and bring it back home. So like the pressure is on a different level until you just get more and more and more used to it and more confident with it. Though I did go out yesterday to fly at a park nearby. And what was funny was I'm flying around at a park. There's a bunch of kids. Everyone's having picnics, but I'm like maybe 350 feet up in the air, right? And so you can barely hear it. It sounds like a really angry hornet, like maybe 20 yards away. But people will be like, oh, what's going on there? And the kids will be like looking at it, staring at it. I can see it with my camera, but I'm not focused on recording people. I'm just focusing on like practicing my flips and tumbles. And then every 15 or 20 minutes or so, I got to come back down and land, switch up my batteries, and go back up again. When I land, there was a bunch of kids. Since I'm wearing FPV goggles, a bunch of kids come up to me and they're like, oh, can I try that? And I'm like, oh, that's cool, kid. Where's your parents? Because I try not to talk to kids. But their mom was there, like nearby. Like kids had just came up from like a picnic blanket and then walked up to me and they're like, hey, can I try that? I was like, oh, you got to be a licensed pilot to fly, which is true. In the state of in America, for the drone of my weight class, you have to have a license. Likewise, you have to also
You
be
have to
certified.
take a test.
You have to take a certification test and you have to be licensed, which costs money, right? So like those two things compounded. When I told that to the kids, they were a little disappointed, but I let them hold the drone and they could see like how heavy it was and they could like touch it and stuff like that. That's fine with me. And one of the moms who was there was like, oh, thanks for letting my kids like, learn about this. And that was cool. The other mom though was like, so you can just record wherever, whenever you want. Wherever you want, you can just record anywhere. And so like I took this very tactfully because my impression was I'm not here to like argue or anything like that. But in a public space, there's no expectation of privacy. So if you go out to public and you put a blanket out in the middle of the grass, it's no different than a car drove by with a dash cam, or someone took a picture on their cell phone, or someone popped open a laptop to do some work. Like everything has cameras. You've been recorded so many times once you left your house. There's no expectation of privacy outside. So like that, I didn't bring that up, but I did say, hey, if you'd like to take the certification yourself, it's called the Trust Certification. It's issued by the Federal Aviation Agency, and it'll tell you all the rules and you can get yourself certified. And it'll explain to you the different classes of drones and how what you're allowed to record and what not to record. And then I just went back to keep flying. But it was funny because when I told her she can take the trust certification, she pulls out a giant phone from her pocket, which I know has GPS, has a microphone, has multiple cameras on both sides, and probably her credit card information and her call history and whatever website browsers that she was using at the time, and maybe even a Facebook account that has
Yeah,
all
which is
the
tracking every single thing about her.
I'm just saying, like, don't be worried. The problem isn't mine. Mine's just a cell phone with wings. And then on top of that, a lot of people love an omnipresent God, which always blows my mind because it seems like we have a natural disposition to not want to be surveilled. But when it comes to God, we want him everywhere at all
Watching
times
everything we
and
do.
recording. Yeah, recording every
I
single
not
little
only
action.
that, but ready to cast you into hell for the slightest provocation.
Right. Or even your thoughts. Like you can get
It's
punished
mind
for your
control.
thoughts. Yeah. Like just what is it? Coveting someone's wife is a problem. Like even like, oh wow, that's a pretty lady. Like that's a problem. And even in your head, it's not even an action. Like that is the ultimate don't think about strawberries moment where you're just like, oh no, now I'm in trouble. But I did want to extend this to, you know, we do have role models that we could base our life on to be more godly, even if we were being constantly surveilled by God. Because what Christians will tell you is we'll just be like Jesus. What would Jesus do in a situation like this? And I thought to myself, why are we thinking about Jesus? Because Jesus is, in my mind, sort of like a high school student whose dad owns the school and is the principal and part-time superintendent and has a car that his parent and dad drove and like has basically nothing but privilege his entire life. Like you're talking about a human being that genetically doesn't even have a dad who's part spiritual, who can do magic tricks and touch things and bring them back to life, who doesn't die, who can come back to life, or does die but come back to life again. Like he's not playing by the same rules that I'm playing by. So how could I, why would I want to be like him? Would I want to have a more closer to an actual human experience and still see the good values that a lot of people before Christianity has a monopoly on? And I found a great example of this. Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers from the television show Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, is, in my opinion, one of the best people to have existed, religious or non-religious. Like, he's not going to probably get any award from any of the major bodies because I don't really pay attention to like Nobel Prize laureates or like who becomes a saint or anything like that. But in my book, Mr. Rogers is a top drawer kind of guy. And I came up with a list of reasons why I believe that. And I want to compare them to a similarly composed objective list with using ChatGPT to see, you know, what stands up from what would Mr. Rogers do versus what would Jesus do? And maybe we can talk about it on the show. Does that sound cool to you?
Works for me.
All right, awesome. So I ran a question through ChatGPT basically saying, hey, give me the top 10 things that Mr. Rogers was known for. Or let me see, I'll tell you the exact question. Sure, 10 remarkable things that Jesus did in his life versus 10 remarkable things that Fred Rogers did in his life. And Mr. Rogers, number one, promoted kindness and empathy. And if you were to ask me what the two cornerstones of any religion should be, it should
And
be
what they say it
kindness.
is,
Yes,
the lip
it should.
service.
Yes, it should. Yes, dude, absolutely. It is lip service because it should be not, this is what you got to do to avoid hell, or this is who your authority figures are, or this is what you shouldn't do, or these are the rules of our club, or this is how much money you need to give us once a month. It's you should be kind and empathetic. And through his iconic television show, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, Fred Rogers promoted kindness, empathy, and understanding among children and adults alike. And if you were to ask me, what's something that the current generation of kids, the current generation, I'm here with my whippersnapper suspenders on. We're both on our porch, Larry. We're just like, you know, the problem with kids today? It's a lack of kindness and empathy. And I can see that both in kids and adults as well. In fact, I've been on a rabbit hole of watching Uber videos, dash cams from Uber drivers who just have the worst people get in their car. Just the worst people. It's like, I'm not masking, or like, I want to change. I'm not paying you money. It's like you sign the app. It's like I'm canceling the ride if you're going to be rude to me. It's like I want you to speed. Like people who walk into someone else's car and assume that they're their butler. That's just the most insane thing. And I think to myself, man, I do not want to subject myself to interactions with society if I ever deal with toxic people like that. We need more kindness and empathy. What do you think, Larry?
Oh, absolutely. And we do see it an awful lot in our society. We live a pretty darn good life. We have
We
we,
do.
the world is full of plenty if we just realize it. But what gets me is the people, the religious people who claim to own morality and truth are often immoral and lie constantly, especially about their religion and about the opposition. I mean, how many lies have you heard told about atheists? And why would they do that if they own the truth? If everything that they do is all about the truth of the Bible and morality and all that too. It just It's just hypocritical to me.
Yeah, the narrative has become so tribalistic that we do, that most people don't care how bad their leaders are or how bad their narrative is, as long as it's their narrative,
Yeah,
right? And
right.
I saw,
If
go
I was
for it.
starting a religion, the first thing I'd do is put in claims about how my God wants you to be good to everybody. That way, after people get into the religion, you can say, "See, we're good to each other because our God said to do that." Not just like we were never good to each other back in the days of Egypt, or before Christianity, or before Judaism.
Like the baseline, the very true baseline for society should be don't go out of your way to be mean to each other. You don't have to be good. We're not making that an obligation. It's good if you are good, but don't be mean to each other. And if you have that, you have basically a state where if everybody follows that rule, you have people who aren't necessarily contributing, but aren't holding down society. And then the rare instances where people are taking on additional work and drive to be extra good, that averages towards slightly good without having to punish people with for who aren't being good. Because you shouldn't be, in my mind, obligated to do good because at that point you're being voluntold to be good. You're not actually volunteering
Well,
for
a
it.
self-rewarding activity. I mean,
It is.
if
It
you do
is.
good, then the old thing about karma, people will see you as good and see you as treating people fairly, and that will come back to you in many ways. Treat people mean or evil, and you reap the rewards for it from your actions.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You want to
Long
live in a
term.
good world, be good.
Right. Long term, if you care about your surroundings and the neighborhoods that you're in, you can begin to look at different ones who are following the rule of, well, I don't have to be good. But the ones who are good, the ones who are contributing, they actually make their society a lot better. They have better roads, they have better teachers. I want to live there and I'm willing to contribute to society if that takes if pay
And
taxes.
they have a better future too, because they're contributing to the next generations.
I think we can objectively see, even if we didn't ask or force people to be kind and empathetic, that being kind and empathetic or promoting it is actually a really good way of moving forward. And what I love about Mr. Rogers is he's not pointing at the camera and saying, you need to be kind, you need to be empathetic. I am your God, or I'm the son of your God, and I'm teaching you to do
Or
this.
it's the holy word from this book.
Yeah, it was literally that. It was promoting kindness and empathy. Like, I'm going to be kind and empathetic on my show. I'm going to ask questions. I'm going to be caring of people who are different than me. And I'm going to show you the benefits that I'm reaping as a reward from that. And I think that's a good practice for you to follow as well. It's an option for you to do that I am demonstrating on my show. And I found that so good. I always found Mr. Rogers is a good teacher in the true sense where he demonstrates what he was teaching rather than just literally espousing it as an authority figure to his followers, right? I never got that feeling from him. So go to the flip side. When I go to Jesus Christ, this is his first thing. So if Mr. Rogers promoted kindness and empathy, the one remarkable thing, first remarkable thing from ChatGPT as my objective source, Jesus taught love and compassion. Jesus preached messages of love, compassion, and forgiveness, emphasizing the importance of treating others with kindness and empathy. So while it's similar, I have a problem with the teaching aspect because Jesus very much is not meeting you one-to-one, like how Mr. Rogers is, where he's like, here's my home. I'm going to put my shoes on. I'm going to take my cardigan off. Maybe I'll make some juice. You want you? I can't give you juice because this is just a TV show. This is a set, kids. But you want to talk about like sharing or divorce or something like that? Like we can talk some hard topics. Jesus, by the way, is like, let me stand on top of a mound. All of you sit down there. I hope you like fish and bread because that's what you're eating. And this is. I'm going to explain to you like my sermon where I'm talking about like how cool my dad is, and I'm going to talk about that for a while. And now I'm going to talk about how cool I am and why you got to be my friend because the only path to heaven is through me. And you know, while it's told that it's love and compassion, honestly, a lot of the stories that Jesus told were about how families would be separating and that he was a sword to split sons and fathers apart in their own households. And how rich people would have a hard time getting in heaven and not poor
And
people.
his hidden message was there on the reward side. I mean, you don't do good for each other just to do good and be good. You do it to achieve a reward in the next life.
You're doing it for a carrot.
And that's a little disingenuous, I guess. The
Yes.
real reason you should be good is to be good and make a better society. I mean, that's
Exactly.
something we can see in this world, no matter which next world comes.
Well put. Well put. Yeah, the value of being good is that it improves the surroundings and the people that who will live in your environment, not so that you can get into heaven, not so that you can sit to the right side of Jesus and watch his, brand new car and hang out with his dad with his video game, his PlayStation 9 or whatever. It's like, who cares about that? It's about the world that we're in right now that matters. And I feel like Mr. Rogers' emphasis is be good for the sake of good so that you can improve and improve the world that you're in. Whereas
And the
Jesus is
life you
like,
live. Yeah, just day-to-day life living.
yeah. And Jesus has no message on any of that. He's just like, this is your path. This is the scheme. This is how we're going to get to heaven, guys. Pick up some trash. It'll count for Jesus points. Trust me. That's the only reason why you need to do it. Like, what about to take care of other people? It's like, we don't care about other people. We're the chosen people.
What gets me is Christians are always calling it unconditional love. Jesus has unconditional love for you. Well, until you break some sins, or unless you do something he doesn't want you to do, then your reward is a lot of eternity of pain, torture. It is fully conditional.
Yes.
And what gets me is he preaches love and compassion, but it comes right down to it, and they ask him what I need to do to get into heaven.
Right.
Remember what he said? Follow the Ten Commandments. That has nothing to do with love and compassion. It has
Absolutely not.
everything to do with obedience.
Right. And there are other problems too where he's like, there are some terrible laws that exist. What do you think about that? Well, what Caesar's is Caesar's and what's God is God. It's like, don't separate those rules. You could just be like, hey, slavery is a bad thing. We shouldn't be doing slavery. There's a lot of things that are going on back there that I can talk about on YouTube, but I can use it to transition to our next topic because if we still have some time, I wanted to bring up that Mr. Rogers, number three on this list is he addressed important topics. He fearlessly addressed important and sometimes difficult topics on a show, such as death, divorce, and disability. And this helped children navigate these issues with honesty and compassion. And I remember when there was a plane crash and people died, and I didn't understand why that was a bad thing. Like, I understand that planes
This is
were
when you were a Christian.
machines. This is when I was a Christian and a child, like when I was maybe like seven. And I remember there was a plane crash, and it was talked about in Mr. Rogers' TV show. And I thought to myself, like, whoa, planes crash because they're machines, but there are people inside them? I didn't understand that. And in the concept of his show, he explained like, about like in a sense, national tragedies, but he talked about it in a way that I wasn't scared from how he was talking about it, and that I understood the sense of loss that came with it. And then he even made a book that was like essentially about like how to like talk to your kids about like bad things that happen in the world. I just thought that was so good to have an adult willing to communicate with me in a way that like I could appreciate. That didn't feel like I was being talked down to. I seen that clip again on YouTube, but it's still really good. Here's what Jesus does. Jesus will, on his third on his list, is heal the sick and disabled. He performed numerous miracles, including healing the sick, blind, deaf, and disabled, demonstrating his compassion and divine power. And my issue with this comparison is that Mr. Rogers will talk about disability and divorce and death and normalize them with respect to those who have died, those who have gone through a divorce like my parents did, or those who have a disability that can't necessarily get them healed. Whereas Jesus, in his mind, his worldview and demonstrated in his book, would be like, oh, you're blind? Bop, you're not blind anymore. Ha ha. Well, what about the 300,000 other blind people that are behind? It's like, we
What
don't
about
know. Nah,
blindness in general? Why didn't he just cure blindness in the human race?
nah. Nah, nah, nah. I just want to do this for the magic trick. Okay. It's for me. So, like, for people who are disabled and deaf, like, the stigma that comes with them being incapable or needing to be healed sticks. Whereas with Mr. Rogers, you talk about disability, people who don't have legs or arms, and demonstrate that they're still capable and that they're still people. Like, I feel like that is something that needs to be expressed with demonstration and through Mr. Rogers' efforts compared to what Jesus did. And I just
What
find it
really
surprising.
what gets me about Jesus, I mean, he raises people from the dead, literally. They were dead. They were dead for days. He brought them back. And that's the end of the story. Nobody asked them what it was like to be dead, where they went. Is there a heaven or is there a hell? They never address any of that from the people that they brought back from the dead. It just, I mean, why not? Because they've got nothing to say.
Right. And the thing is, people still die. And even those dead people he brought back are dead again. Right. So like, it's a question of, would I have been better off with Mr. Rogers' approach, where he talks about death and in a sensible way and explains why it happens and why, you know, you shouldn't be afraid of it, but it is a part of life, compared to, imagine if Jesus did that once. He's just like, let me just talk about death for a little bit. Like, it's not something to be worried about your entire life for, but it's a part of life. And, you know, it's more about celebrating your life than it is about worrying about your death your entire life. Right. And then Jesus is like, no, don't worry about death. It doesn't exist. It's just a change of address. When you die, you're going to hang out with me. If you're good, and if you give me a little bit of money, and if you worship me, it's the only thing I'm asking for. Just listen to what I say. Give me a little bit of your money and worship me. It's that simple.
We got to remember that
before
Jesus, there was no heaven or hell. I mean, he's the one who brought eternal punishment, eternal aggrandizement. Why wasn't it mentioned before? Did the Jewish people not know anything about heaven or hell? Matter of fact, Jewish people today, I understand, don't really believe in heaven or hell. They just believe you kind of cease to exist. If you're a Jewish person and have want to mention something about that, please leave a comment.
Sure. Okay, I think we're near the bottom of the half hour, right?
We are.
All right, let's do a quick break.
Okay, this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio, 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. We'll be right back after this short break. welcome back to the second half of the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. I'm Doubter 5, and we're on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Let's take just a minute to talk about the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 22nd year. We have over 1,100 members. We have weekly in-person meetings every Tuesday evening in Knoxville's Old City at Barley's Tap Room and Pizzeria. Look for us inside at the high top tables, or if it's pretty weather, outside on the deck. You can find us online on Facebook, meetup.com, or go to our website at knoxvilleatheist.org, or just Google Knoxville Atheist. It's just that simple. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville and you still need to go to meetup.com and do a search for an atheist group in your town, don't find one. Start one. Right. Wombat, what do you want to pick up?
I really want to go back to this list of Mr. Rogers and what he's done in his life, remarkably, that could be used to set an example for Christians and atheists alike, versus Jesus and what he's done to set examples for the same crop of people. And what I'm finding more often than not is that Mr. Rogers is a better representation slash mentor slash kind demonstration of good values that I think we should really try to exemplify in our current society compared to what Jesus Christ did with his entire time here. And I will just say this as simple. One of my, as simple fact, one of my best and favorite memories from his show is that he would always start a show with that piano song, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do a full intro of the little model town, you know, and it's like a long intro. I want to compare and contrast how his show starts to compare to any kid's show starts these days, where it's just quick cuts. Here's Alexander. He's a superhero, and he could turn into this. Alexander's a superhero. Like loud music, loud flashing lights. Show the entire plot line. You only have 30 seconds to do this, guys. Hurry up. Sell toys. You can do this. Make it happen. And whereas Mr. Rogers is like a steady 4 minute like song, more like extended song.
And you know, doing normal things like changing his shoes, putting on a sweater.
Yeah. Close up on a door, he opens up the door, he starts singing, and it's just like there's an old man singing on TV, and he's not singing fast. It's a pretty slow song. There's not a lot of accompaniment with it. And not only that, but the craziest thing is not only he takes off his jacket, puts on another jacket slowly, sits in front of like everybody and starts taking off his shoes and putting on a new pair of shoes. And you're like, what's going on? He's tying shoes. We've been doing this show for like 6 minutes and there's an old man singing, tying his shoes.
Hey, he wasn't that old. He looked like he was about 45, you know, or 40. Sure. He really wasn't gray haired or anything.
How do we sell this to kids? How do we sell this to kids? We got to like G.I. Joe's next up in the next half hour block. How do we compete with Spider-Man?
You know, people don't realize that really young kids want stability. They want safety. They want they don't want you to jerk things around and stuff like that. But he had a show for very young children, you know, like pre-kindergarten. So he wasn't like 8, 9, 10, you know, age kids. We want all this action and mayhem.
Have you seen Paw Patrol? Have you seen like Peppa Pig? Like episodes that are only like 5 minutes long because they know kids have to like, they're going to lose their attention span very quickly. You have to like keep kids entertained. You have to sell toys. You got to like have them with cartoons. It's got to be colorful. Whereas Mr. Rogers, like, I'm tying my shoes. And if the song, this is the thing that blew my mind. If he's still singing and the song ends, won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please be my neighbor? And he's still tying his shoes. He's going to keep tying his shoes. He doesn't rush. Mm-hmm. The entire time he's just like, oh, I didn't finish tying my shoes yet. I'm just going to finish tying my shoes.
Yeah.
Before he starts the show. Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Like, oh, it's so relaxing.
Yeah. He wasn't just an actor either. He created the show. He's composed the music. He was the producer and the head writer for Mr. Rogers. So it was his show. He conceived it and made it happen.
Right.
Just the way he wanted.
And I just love that he could teach patience, you know, because one of the main things I feel like, again, here I am on my porch, that, you know, I feel are lacking as a society is patience. All the habits, all the hobbies that we have, stress, sort of like a YOLO or a you got to do this now or time's running out or this is a limited deal Or everything's stressing on time being a limited resource, whereas to watch a full episode of Mr. Rogers is sort of an expectation or setting up the expectation of things are going to take some time, but it's totally fine. It'll be worth it. Let's just
Yeah.
relax and watch and
Right. And you
relax.
mentioned before the show that he was honest about everything he did. He talked about the puppets being
Yes.
puppets.
Yes.
That nothing was unexplained or left to the imagination other than just the story that he was telling.
Correct.
But Jesus was all about the magic, and he was a hero figure in the old traditional sense of a hero in a story. He
Right.
did a tragedy, I guess you could call it, because he did all these wondrous things, and because he did all those wondrous things, they had
Right.
to bring him down and kill him, and hang him up as a,
But Jesus was also the ultimate buy now, not later marketer, because his whole
Right.
idea was within your lifetime, the kingdom of heaven's going to come down, right? So I'm your last chance right now. Start worshiping me right now. I'm right here. You're here. Make this happen, or I'm going to go, right? I'm not going to be here forever, and your opportunity is going to go away, guys.
Yeah. And they've been
Just like that's
saying
at the
that the end of the
beginning.
world is nigh for 2,000
Right.
years now. I mean, get
Yeah.
a clue.
Right.
It's not.
He's not teaching patience. He's not teaching honesty, right? Because, like I, as you said, Larry, it's like it's been 2,000 years, and he's still playing hide and seek, apparently. Not only that, but I also feel like one of the cool things Mr. Rogers did was he went behind the curtain. Like he shows you, hey, this is the piano that's playing when I sing. There's a lady who plays it, but I can also know how to play music too. But she go on and play some music, Linda, and she plays the music. He went to the actors who happens in his make-believe town. He went to that studio set, which is right next to his show. And he's like, these are actors, but they're also my friends. And we do this show where we pretend that we are on the stage. I'm just being honest with you. Like, this is a puppet. This is a trolley. I control it with these two buttons. You can see me doing it in the show. It's not like it's a magical thinking trolley. I don't want you to be concerned with the concept of magic. Like, reality already is cool enough. And I'm like, that's so cool. Like, I can appreciate that mindset. And remember, Mr. Rogers is a Christian, right? So, like, I can appreciate that mindset, that honesty from a Christian-minded person that can still enable me, even with my secular mindset now, to still respect that show so genuinely because it's not intrusive on my viewpoints of reality, because he's being honest, right? And he's keeping largely his dogma away
Right.
from being force-fed to me as a child. I just thought that was so good. Whereas Jesus is nothing but dogma first. You know, it's just like, hey, let me tell you about my dad. It's like, dude, I know your dad's the God. It's like, yeah, my dad's God. So what are you gonna do about it? That's literally his entire motif, his entire
Yeah.
show, to the point where people get so annoyed. They're like, can we kill Jesus, please? Can we kill this guy? It's like, my dad's God. Oh, please shut up, Jesus. How can we make the guy die faster? Let's crucify him. It's like, is that the fastest way we can kill people? Fine, whatever. All right, go for it. Anyway. All right. So other thing that Mr. Rogers did was, as you had discussed, he had that piano music. So he promoted music and the arts. He integrated music, art, and creativity into his programming, recognizing the importance of fostering imagination and emotional expression. And I thought, that is cool. It would be nice to hear from Jesus some humanity that he valued, because humanity at that time, Mesopotamia, like, had built brilliant statues, had a culture, had poetry, you know, like they had music, but you never hear Jesus espouse on, like, hey, this is like some really cool things that humans only do, and you should be really proud that you were able to create this. And this is like a joint effort, came from a lot of different minds putting together, and you made something really beautiful. The beauty was always about God, and the only time I've ever seen Jesus relax and have a good time was when he was making wine for his buddies or hanging out in the desert. But like, it was
Right.
never a time to appreciate the
Yeah,
humanity.
and about the only story that really could show compassion is the one where they were stoning this woman, or were going to, and he said, let the first one who has no sin cast the first stone. But that was really about obedience. It was about a sin. It was about a lot of things. It should have been about compassion. an empathy for the woman, but it wasn't. And that's an opportunity missed.
Yeah, there's other missed opportunities too. I think is Jesus the one who came up with the Good Samaritan story?
I don't know.
Was
I
that a
think it
Jesus?
was
Was that a
just a,
Jesus parable? Because I know
no,
Jesus.
I don't think it was.
So was that I know it was in the New Testament. I'm going to assume. All right. Okay. So if that's not the case, then that's fine. But like, I feel bad for Samaritans who have to be subject to that story. It's like, you know, Samaritans? It's like, yeah, boo, right? Yeah. Well, here's a story about a good one. It's like, whoa, isn't this story kind of generalizing and a little bit racist? No, just put it in the Bible. It's totally fine. But the other one would be like when the lady comes to Jesus to like pour oil on his feet, and like all the guys around him are like, ugh, this lady doesn't deserve to be around you. She's a woman, or like she's beneath us. And I'm like, whoa, these are the people that Jesus is hanging out with 24/7. But Jesus is
Yeah.
like, no, I will let her wash my feet. That's like, okay, hold on a second. I don't know if this is necessarily even a good thing in this world. Like, oh, he's so nice. He let the lady clean his feet with the precious oils. That's so progressive. Like, would you like to sit
What
down
kind of a
with us and eat some food?
lesson is this? Anyway,
Yeah, like,
yeah.
lady, would you like to sit
Any
down and eat some
any
food with
you're
us?
all equal. You can all wash my feet.
It's like any of you guys can wash my feet anytime you want to. No, it's like I feel like Jesus was always there to keep the stratification of humanity in place, right? Like, there's God, and now there's a new layer, which is me. And then there's my followers who are immediately below me, and then there's everybody else. So if you want to upgrade, you got to follow me because that'll put you into this new caste of people who are my followers, which gets you closer to God. But like Jesus was not about respecting the diversity of people and different minds around the world. And you know, Mr. Rogers, he had different people of different faiths, different colors, different genders on his show all the time. Different puppets. I mean, like different animals. That was the whole concept of the make-believe verse. But then you'd also go out to industries where you'd like talk to men and women working in plants and be like, hey, this is how fruit cups are made. This is how milk is gathered from cows. And it's like women farmers, men farmers, black people, white people, all working together. You never got that. You never got the expression that Jesus ever really appreciated humanity. But I only ever got that from Mr. Rogers. And I feel like because of that, I would always listen to what Mr. Rogers would tell me what to do over Jesus, which is like this weird alien guy. Okay. I do want to give props to Jesus for confronting injustice and hypocrisy. It does say in this list that Jesus fearlessly confronted religious hypocrisy, corruption, and injustice, challenging authority and speaking truth to power. That's what it gut says from ChatGPT. Do you have any comments on that, Larry?
Who is
Confront.
talking truth to power?
This is a remarkable thing that Jesus did.
Oh.
According to ChatGPT, confronting injustice and hypocrisy, he challenged religious hypocrisy, corruption, and injustice, challenged authority, and spoke the
Well,
truth.
what he did was he challenged the old religion to set up a new religion. I mean, he has his own authority. He was establishing a new one. He had to challenge the old one to do it. And as far as speaking truth to power, was it truth when he was just, I mean, first of all, we need to take a step back.
Sure.
I don't know if Jesus actually existed or not, but we do know the stories exist. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all they are. I mean, no more than you would believe that Muhammad split the moon in two and flew to heaven on a winged horse. Why do you not buy those stories, but buy the stories about Jesus? I mean, they're magic hero stories. They're just stories in a book written by preachers who want you to believe so that they can control you, put you in the pew, and get your money,
Right. If I told
basically.
you a story with a magical orange and a talking goat, people would be like, that's a fairy tale. But if I said a magical apple and a talking snake, people are like, nope, that's real. That actually happened somewhere. It's like it's not the fact that it's an apple or an orange or a talking goat or a talking snake. It's the fact that this is fairy tales. We have nothing to compare it to in reality. Hey, Dread. Good to
And
see
Dread
you.
Pirate Higgs came in. Welcome, Dread.
Nice.
Ahoy. Ahoy.
Nice. Ahoy. Hope you're
We
having a good time.
were contrasting Mr. Rogers and Jesus Christ. I'll throw you
Yeah.
cold into it.
Dread, I know you're out in the cold right now, but did you ever have any experience with watching Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood?
No.
No. Okay, it's not Canadian. Not a Canadian. Oh, okay.
Am
So
I late?
what's up?
Am I late?
Yeah,
Yeah, a little bit. It's
a bit.
yeah,
50
you're fine.
minutes.
It's only 50 minutes in an hour show. It's all good. You're fine. You're fine. You're fine. We appreciate the spirit of it. But Dred's doing some real work,
Because of
so
the
we
time
appreciate it.
change.
Yeah. Dred, you're doing real work. Don't worry about it. But the great thing is, I feel like we have a better champion for how to behave. And it can even be a Christian who does so, rather than using Jesus, because I feel like we have better role models already that exist. And as as Larry said, we don't know if Jesus actually existed. We just know there's stories that exist. But we do know Mr. Rogers exists. And we have videos of him. And we have books by him. And we have music by him. And we have speeches by him. And we have congressional transcripts from him. And they're all awesome. And I'm saying, like, why are we wasting time with the stories from Jesus when we already have a much better in color,
That's a good point.
Technicolor version of a guy who's already espousing really good values that we should just be listening to anyway? Like,
No magic involved.
no magic needed. Like, we already got it. Like, just put this book away and be like, just watch Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. If you do this and you listen to this guy and do what this guy says and still call this Christianity, we would literally be better off and Christianity would be in a better light. We already have a better role model. We should do as Mr. Rogers does, not.
Gonna be Roger's entity.
Yeah, like there's no ambiguity behind it. There's no ambiguity to it. It's like we know that guy was a thing, and we agree. I, as an atheist, agree with almost everything that was said on the show. There's no controversy. There's no cancel
There's no
culture on Mr.
requirement to
Rogers.
throw reality out the window.
Yeah, like I'm totally fine. It's like if someone had on their bumper sticker a picture of Mr. Rogers instead of like a cross or something. In my mind, I'm not thinking, oh, that guy's just like inhibiting education, science, reality, teaching his kids the wrong way to be. Like, if it was just a picture of Mr. Rogers, it's like, I do what Mr. Rogers did, I'd be like, oh, that's a cool parent. Nice. I love Mr. Rogers too. I'm an atheist. I love that show. Everybody would love that show. It'd be great.
Another bumper sticker would be good, would be would you like to be my neighbor?
Bam!
Right. Excellent.
Done on a shirt, Dredd. Wonderful. All right. I'm gonna do a quick break to see if we had comments. We did have a couple of comments. Oh, Dredd, would you like to plug anything?
Well, I'm still continuing to do my weekly short sermons on my YouTube channel, Mind Pirate,
Sermons.
MindPirate.
Sermons, what about?
Oh, about everything. Like I just did one about Aardvark Appreciation Day.
Oh, cool.
Sometimes I just base my sermons off of the Pastafarian calendar. Friday, like every day is some kind of a day in Pastafarianism. So
Sure.
it turned out that last Friday was Aardvark Appreciation Day.
Nice.
And recently I did one on International Women's Day. That was a good one.
Did you do Pi Day?
I did Pi Day, but I didn't get it up, so I've got it now. It's in the can. So next year on Pi Day, I will release it.
Well, that's PI,
So,
not PIE.
no, I understand.
No,
I
for
got
the
314.
listeners.
Oh,
For the
I
listeners.
see.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, 314.
So I have two questions, two comments that I'm formatting into a question. One is from the episode, I'm calling God's Bluff. And the question is related to how to talk to your parents and essentially call their bluff if required sometimes. But this question is I'm gonna give to Larry. Larry, the commenter is Electrical Crab 9286. They say that my mom's telling my siblings that dinosaurs never existed. What should I tell her?
Well, it
My mom's telling
depends.
my siblings that dinosaurs never existed. Assume it's for a religious reason. My mom is telling my siblings. That's
We
the
have
family
evidence.
dynamic.
We have all kinds of evidence. I mean, how do you explain the fossils that we have, the fossil record of dinosaurs, if they never existed? And if you're gonna, and a lot of Christians will say, well, Satan put them there to confuse us and make us not believe in the Word of God, you
God
know, in
dang
the
it,
history.
Simon.
But I mean, which is better to believe, that it occurred naturally, that these lived and there's a deep history of time, or magic? You know, so that's your options there.
Dread.
What people haven't been reasoned into, they cannot be reasoned out of.
Right.
They
I can't.
Can't.
Remember
I
who
disagree.
Said that.
I disagree.
Well,
oh, I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Because
no,
you,
I can't remember who said that, but
I think it was
very
Hitchens. I think
very
Hitchens
apt.
said it. But I mean, we all were. I
yeah.
was, you know, I was a believer, and so was Wombat, and I believe you were at
That's
one time,
true.
weren't
Yeah.
you? So we were reasoned out of it.
It takes time and a
It takes a
commitment
long
to break
time.
out. Yeah.
And it takes a lot of good arguments, a lot of good rationale, but it happens.
And what I hear from this kid person's perspective is that no one's invested that time in the mom, but also it's a willingness too. If I was unwilling to change my mind, I wouldn't have changed my mind. It took a deep appreciation for knowing that I cared about what was true and what was actually false for me to change. And all the reason in the world won't affect that unless if I'm a willing participant in that process. And I think if you have those two, it is feasible. It is feasible. Dread, my next question is
Jonathan Swift.
Oh, okay.
Cool.
Dread, this is a good question for you, I think.
Okay.
This is just a more extended comment, but from Driplocalus, who asks, hey, is it okay for me to privately wear a cross while I'm an atheist? I have a necklace nearly a decade old, and I occasionally wear it and look in the mirror for sentimental value. I'm no longer a Christian. But after learning how toxic religion is, I am now questioning if it is inappropriate to have the sentimental trinket towards sentimental trinket towards any religious object. Is it okay to privately wear a cross while an atheist is the main question.
Right. And of course, why not? Because I mean, symbols are symbols. They just represent things. And Christians don't have, a monopoly on the cross. You know, if it doesn't mean Christianity to you, then so what, right?
Or if you just want it to remind you of the time you were a Christian and how maybe
there's that too.
You left the fold. There's a lot of reasons that you would have.
Yep.
I mean, you're human. You have a lot of sentimentality about the past.
Yeah.
Now, if it bothers you that you're actually wearing a cross, you could have it melted down and turned into a ring or another piece of
that's
jewelry.
A great thing. Right?
I love that idea. That's kind of cool. Yeah, I kind of did that. Yeah, there's a lot of jewelry
that
do that.
Mm-hmm.
You think about like symbols like the Fallot cross, you know, the Nazi symbol, which is way predated the Nazis, right?
Right.
Sure.
It was an Indian symbol, I think, a long time ago.
Exactly.
Western Indian.
So,
That's a hard sell, though, if you're a political figure being like, it's not for Nazis. It's like, could we agree that it's now for Nazis? Can we just, like, can we say they did enough to claim that and maybe just, like, don't wear that while you say, please
there
elect
was,
me official? Because you're going to attract attention.
There was a symbol that the Nazis wore was an Iron Cross. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that as well.
The Iron Cross. It was very popular after the war in the 50s and 60s when biker gangs and some other people would wear it. And it used to really tee off my dad, who was
real
a World
upstanding
War
people.
II veteran.
I actually had a copy of Rudyard Kipling's The Jungle Book, and it was 100 years old. And embossed on the front cover was a picture of an elephant and the Fallot cross.
The what
And
cross?
the Nazi symbol.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. And
yeah, a lot
that,
of
of
people.
course, that was, I think it was published in 18, towards the end of the century there, long before, Nazis were around, right?
Never picked it up. Yeah.
All right. Here's my last question. This one goes to the layer before we close the show.
Yeah, we need to.
Detective Mindless asks, is there such a thing as an atheist society? Is there one?
Well, yeah. I started, it's just kind of a club. You started here in Knoxville. We started the Atheist Society of Knoxville. And that was 22 years ago, and we're doing pretty well. It's now a nonprofit.
Ooh.
If we have an atheist society live and well in the Bible Belt. So
Nice.
yes, do that.
Okay, cool. That's it for me. Thank you guys for coming to the show. Feel free to check out or leave a comment. Franco Accounting says, looking good, Ty. We appreciate it. Thank you. Cheers. Anything else? Mind Pirate, Dread Pirate, would you like to plug in?
I'm good. I'm just so sorry I missed the largest part of the show.
You're Canadian. You do not have to be sorry. It's all good. It's all good.
I was late last week, but I got in time.
Yeah, we're
Yeah,
in this weird time
or a week
flux right now
before.
in the States
Yeah,
and
when the time
America.
changed.
All right, Larry, what do you got?
What do you got before I sign out?
Oh, I think we all agree that souls were real. That's what we missed, Dread, on, and that we're ready good to close the show. Is that right? Souls are real.
No,
You never
I
wrote a book.
don't.
Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Perfect.
All right. You can find this show on podcasts everywhere. Just search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. And if you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to like and subscribe. My content can be found at digitalfreethought.com. And be sure to click on the blog button for the radio show archives, atheist songs, and many articles on the subject. My YouTube channel handle is at Doubter5. You can find my book, Atheism, What's It All About, on Amazon. Remember, everybody is going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it. Enjoy your life, and we'll see you next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here on WOZO Radio. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.